giving the presentation.
Good morning, Vice Chair Dias and members of the board. My name is Bud Amorfini. I'm an engineering geologist working in the North Basin Regulatory Unit. And I'm here to present the Heavenly Epic Discovery Project EIR and revised waste discharge requirements for your consideration. Today we'll be asking you to consider certifying the EIR for the Epic Discovery Project, as well as adopting the revised waste discharge requirements for the Heavenly Mountain Resort operations. I wanted to point out that the EIR is actually a joint document, an EIR-EIS. It was done jointly by the TRPA, the Water Board, and the Forest Service. And we had our consultant, Helgi Bruick. We have representatives from each of those agencies. We have Rob Bruick from Helgi Bruick, who prepared the document for our use. Andrew Strain from Heavenly. David Landry from TRPA. And we have Jeff Marcellet, the LTBMU Forest Supervisor, and Jonathan Cook Fisher from the Forest Service. So we all worked as a team to complete this effort. We're the last in the line to go. The Forest Service has already issued their record of decision for the project, and the TRPA has already certified the EIS and approved the project. So we are the last in the line of the approvals of this project. Today I will be presenting the findings from the EIR, EIS, as well as some issues with the waste discharge requirements. Sue, if you could go to the next slide. Next slide. Oh, sorry.
Okay, gotcha.
So we went through the evaluation through the EIR, EIS process. We identified several issues that were less than significant. They included water use, groundwater, geology and soils, air quality, greenhouse gas emissions, noise, visual resources, land use, and socioeconomics. I will, in the following slides, discuss the impacts that were potentially significant but mitigated to less than significant levels. We incorporated design features to reduce those impacts, as well as included mitigation and monitoring to reduce impacts to less than significant levels. The first one includes fire protection. This was primarily a comment from the Douglas County Fire Protection District. They wanted to ensure safety zones and evacuation routes so that people were safe and get people off the mountain. They also wanted to identify helicopter landing zones to get people out that were sick or injured, as well as providing rescue locator signs on trails. So all these measures have been incorporated into the summer operations plan by Heavenly, and we've addressed those issues. In terms of biological resources, we had comments primarily from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. They were concerned with migratory birds, so our mitigation includes requirements to survey and protect active nests found on sites that are near the construction activities and operational activities. It also included concerns about white bark pine, and the mitigation is to implement the conservation strategies from the action plan. We're dealing with Sierra Nevada yellow-legged frog with potential habitat in some of the areas where there is some development. And Heavenly has agreed to delay meadow development where the habitat may be to complete the appropriate surveys. And I believe we're two-thirds of the way there. So I think there's one more survey that needs to be done to determine if there are actually yellow-legged frogs present in that area. We also had concerns about an external trail network. This primarily involved the trail called the Panorama Trail, which winds it down the side of the mountain from the top of Heavenly at East Peak, and it connects with a connector trail in the Van Sickle Bi-State Park, which is run by both California and Nevada. So the concerns there were about possible increases in user conflicts, additional wear and tear on the trails, and demand for parking at the Van Sickle Bi-State Park. These issues were addressed with a kind of a collaborative effort by all the parties involved. They established a trail partnership action plan, which all the parties agreed to, and it includes some monitoring and trigger points for action in case there are impacts identified. Another issue was related to traffic and parking. There was concerns about increased summer vehicle trips near the roadways and intersections near the gondola. The EIR, EIS found that the roadways and intersections would continue to operate at acceptable levels of service, and that standard TRPA air quality mitigation fees would be collected to address increased trips and vehicle miles traveled. We also found that there was already adequate parking at the existing lots. There was concerns about on-site roadways. This is primarily the dirt road network, the summer maintenance roads that Heavenly uses during the summer, and the traveling on those roads. So there may be some construction or realignment of those roadways as part of developing this project. There is a formalized roads management agreement to monitor for those effects. And we've also incorporated the Forest Service protocols for monitoring the roadways into our updated waste discharge requirements to deal with that. We also had comments about cultural issues. So there were concerns regarding protection of Native American resources. The agreement is to implement existing programmatic agreement that already exists. Sorry about the redundancy there. That was already part of the mitigation and monitoring plan that from previous EIR, so we've continued that program. And then Heavenly and the Forest Service has also talked to the tribe and agreed to include their involvement if the educational programs contain Native American content or cultural or historical content. In terms of the waste discharge requirements, we had a lot of analysis done as part of the EIR, EIS, evaluating the existing conditions and looking at the existing water quality data that we've been collecting over many years at Heavenly through our former regulatory process. And it identified some issues with the runoff from the California Base facility. This is where there's a lot of parking and access to Heavenly. And the issue there is for safety. Heavenly puts down rock salt and traction sand to keep roads safe for the public to drive on. But that also results in some runoff that's creating higher chloride and TSS levels in the receiving water just downstream from that. Heavenly's put in over $1 million into a treatment system on their parking lot. And we've been working with them to try and improve the performance of that. But it's been a little bit slow, and also it's just been a very difficult process, as well as the fact that the treatment system will not treat for chloride. So we've included a time schedule order into the waste discharge requirements to deal with this. It includes asking them to perform an engineering evaluation to try and improve the performance of the treatment box, as well as look into source controls to minimize the amount of salt and sand that they put down. So we're encouraging them to put down better quality sand that now most municipalities in the basin are using, as well as going to possibly brine to reduce the mass of salt put down. And then we will receive a plan, and there's a time schedule order for that, for them to complete that. We also found that there are poor biotic conditions. This is a result from the bioassessments that's been done on Heavenly Valley Creek, and it involves the Sky Meadows area, which is a low gradient segment of Heavenly Valley Creek that shows poor bug counts. So in order to address that, we identify about 20 plus erosion hotspots upslope from this area that are all slated to be fixed. They're scheduled in the WDRs to into three tiers, high, medium, low, with the highest ones being fixed this year and the rest subsequent years after that. So we think that that's going to help improve biotic conditions and reduce sediment coming into the stream system. We also have a requirement for annual erosion hotspot assessments in the WDR, so this will be an ongoing program, and it'll be reported every year in Heavenly's operations plan. We also included an updated mitigation and monitoring plan to comply with the EIR, so that's It's all been updated and cleaned up from previous EIRs. There's been, I think, two master plan amendments prior to this, and we've gotten rid of the things that have been done and updated it to be current and deal with the current mitigations that are identified in the EIR. We did have some comments from Heavenly and the Forest Service. They involved certain language items in the findings, as well as dealing with the compliance dates in the time schedule order. Through staff discussions with both those agencies, we resolved the issues, and we believe we're on board, and everybody's on board with the plan now. So based on that, we recommend that the board certify the project EIR and adopt the Henley Mountain waste discharge requirements for resort operations. And with that, I would be happy to take any questions.
Any questions? No.
I have a comment and a question. So the first comment is on the monitoring the roads used for the dirt roads on the mountain. I'm pleased that we were able to incorporate the Forest Service protocols that what that tells me is that, in your opinion, they were adequate to meet our needs.
Yes, I think, and I could let the Forest Service answer this too, and I think Jeff would like to speak a little bit after I'm through, but I think the primary thing is they have a more of a database, and it's more formalized where they can track how their roads are doing nationwide, and so it's going into their system in a more holistic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also written protocols about how they want the roads to be monitored. So Heavenly has always monitored their roads, and it's been part of their on-mountain monitoring, but it's just more geared toward the Forest Service protocols and more formalized.
And, I mean, whenever we come up with a system that's different from the Forest Service system, people don't like that. So it's
right.
Good when we can go with the same program.
Right.
The Van Sickle, so the parking lot that you referenced in Van Sickle, is that in California or Nevada?
I think it's in Nevada.
Okay.
Thank you.
Then that answers my question.
Okay.
That's all.
Any other questions?
No further questions.
Jeff, would you like to say a few words?
Sure.
This is Jeff Marcellet of the Lake Tahoe Basin Management Unit. He's relatively new for supervisor.
Relatively new, but not new to the basin. I served previously as the deputy forest supervisor and have been here since late 2010. So, vice chair and the members of the board, thanks for having me up here. Patty, as always, it's a pleasure to see you. And I, before you act, I do want to just point out a couple things about this project, maybe set a little context and offer some insights. This really was a collaboration between the three different agencies in partnership with Heavenly to push on a pretty new idea to the national forest system. New in the context of policy, but not new in the context of how we've been engaging in visitor management and balancing ecosystem values and protecting water quality and all the other things that matter to us. So in 2011, Congress acted to in the form of a bill known as the Ski Area Summer Enhancement Act. And what that did was it directed the Forest Service to consider summertime activities on the ski areas already under permit in the national forest. Why they did that was because though the forests here had been a little bit more progressive in engaging the ski area and inviting summer visitation, across the rest of the country, it was actually not very well accepted. And we see in private facilities great use, great enjoyment, great protection of the environment, great public access being provided. But on the national forest, we were a little resistant, let's just say, to expanding that summertime activities. And yet, the facilities are there, and yet the permittees and our partners are there, and yet the public opportunity is there. So Congress acted. That set the Forest Service in motion on developing policies, looking at the various activity types, developing screening matrix. we're the second in the country to be on the leading edge of a major development. The other is in Colorado, also with the Heavenly and Vail Corporation. So Vail Corporation is really leading the charge and in many ways helping the Forest Service set the bar very high on what the expectations are, not just about providing quality public access, not just about the design of the facilities, not just about protecting the environment, but also how to engage the public in building them as a new constituency, not just to the National Forest, but as environmental stewards. So it's actually pretty exciting that we're on the cusp of that. I think it'll do a lot, not just for the National Forest, but for the TRPA regional plan, as well as your planning processes. So offer that as context. It also fits broadly into some emerging areas of influence that the National Forests are pushing towards around this notion of sustainable recreation. The idea that when we bring public to the National Forest, we find and design facilities that protect the ecosystem and provide that world-class public expectation. And I wouldn't have signed our record of decision authorizing the National Forest component of this if I didn't think this proposal did that. I want to say thanks to the team who worked on this as well. And through your staff, Bud's leadership, and David from TRPA, and our folks, and the folks from Heavenly, I can tell you, I sat in on a handful of the meetings, and there was some really good, robust dialogue. So while Bud indicated at the start that you're the last to make the decision, by no stretch were the mitigations required and the responsibilities of any of the responsible agencies not clearly in the room all the time. In fact, one of the nice results of this project is that the myriad of disparate monitoring that had been required by everybody became cohesively evaluated and proposed in a single area, where not only do we all each have our own responsibilities, but when you lay all the monitoring requirements, everything from birds and fish to soil stability and public use and enjoyment, you can see that the plan makes sense and it actually is something that our partners here can accomplish reasonably. And that was a really great outcome of this effort. I'd like to say that our staffs had really great dialogue as well. And so you pointed out that we looked at monitoring standards and, you know, I wasn't involved in all of the dialogue, but I know that the meetings I did sit in, there was good discussion at that level about what are the things that we want to do, what responsibilities do we need to uphold, whose protocols serve us best, and what are the implications of making a choice or a change around that. So I'm quite proud of the work that our folks have done on this, and I think that you should be too with the staff that you have. And we came up with some great outcomes on a lot of different topics. We've pushed the limits on some things that, you know, a little bit more in my wheelhouse per se, like white bark pine as an example. And white bark pine is an emerging issue. It's being considered by the Fish and Wildlife Service for listing, but it's being looked at right now. And with all that in the background, the fact that we were able to have good quality dialogue led us to develop a MOU with us in the ski area to protect the species over the long run, to look at the short-term impacts versus the long-term protection needs. And we've set ourselves in motion to do something that I don't think anybody's doing right now in terms of a partnership plan to protect a species over an area that we like we are managing right here on the ski area. The trail plan is another good example of that, that the issues that were arisen through the environmental review process had us look at how do all the folks who have a stake in managing the trails, how do they come together to manage the trails not just today, not just tomorrow, not just when the impacts rise to a certain threshold, but over time. And the results were bringing the mountain bike community, the Tahoe Rim Trail Association, your folks, our folks, the ski area clearly, and we developed a plan that has triggering mechanisms. Those things that we could look at over time and process for how do we talk about those issues as they result and how do we come back and have a dialogue about needed improvements. because each one of us has certain different jurisdictional responsibilities based upon an unknown set of conditions that might show up 2 years, 10 years. So our Washington office is really thinking that the work that we did on the plan is really innovative, and I think that's in part due to the partnership that came forward on this project. So, you know, I could go on about a lot of different areas that I think that the interdisciplinary look that came forward on this project was able to accomplish better outcomes. But I am quite proud of the work that folks have been able to accomplish to date. I appreciate, Patty, your leadership and your staff's leadership, because I think we had good, discreet conversations about things that matter. Maybe not so much in my responsibility area, but definitely in your responsibility area. I mean, SSTs and fluorides, and I'll tell you, those are things that are not in my view shed. But I'm glad you're part of the team in making sure that we're protecting those things. So, anyways, I think it was a good outcome. We should be proud of the work that this sets us on a path to do. I think we have a great partner in the ski area to not just help us get to this stage, but also to implement with clarity and clear leaders' intent that why the environmental protections have been placed in these decision documents are there for a reason, and it's part of us establishing a great program. And I have no more confidence than in these two gentlemen here from the ski area that they'll take the spirit by which our mitigations were established and really move them forward. So, anyways, you can tell, I think, from my perspective, this is a real win-win, not just for the public, but for the environment that this allows us and encourages us and gives us opportunity to protect in new and different ways. So happy to take questions from you, but appreciate the opportunity to be here and address. And this, to me, is the beginning of my relationship with you, but the continuance of the Forest's longstanding good relationship with this board and the staff here at La Hontan as well. So with that, I'll take any questions if you have any, or I'll...
Any questions over these guys? No, thank you.
Well, I would just like to say, just to tell you a little bit about my background, I have a PhD in forestry. I've worked for the P&W Research Station. I've worked for Weyerhaeuser. I have handled a drip torch and a paint gun.
That's
so
outstanding.
So I have been really frustrated as long as I've been on the board, that there's been this perception that there's an inherent conflict between forestry and water quality. And you and I both know that the forests were originally established to protect watersheds. Mm-hmm. It's been part of the Forest Service mission forever. So I really like what I'm hearing from you. It sounds to me like we're opening a new chapter of the relationship between La Hontan and the Forest Service, and I welcome it.
Questions, Mr. Gurney?
No questions. I'm just everyone's done. A wonderful job.
Yeah, I'll second that, especially Amy's comments. Nice to meet you.
Well, I can't take all the credit. I'll tell you, Nancy Gibson, my predecessor, worked really hard with Patty to give us a opportunity to take advantage of these sorts of things. So, anyways, I think at the and quite frankly, the staff we've been working really hard together. For quite a few years now, looking at our own norms around some of these things and being willing to change. And that's making a big difference. So I think we're all in it together, and under my tenure, I expect to continue to do so.
I think we have one more speaker that would like to address the board. I would like to introduce Andrew Strain.
Thank you, Bud. Good morning, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the board. I'm Andrew Strain with Heavenly Mountain Resort. I also wanted to introduce Pete Sontag, our COO from Heavenly, who's here today with me, too. Geez, I almost want to just sit down and get out of the way. But I also want to add my thanks to Patty for her leadership and the direction of the staff. The words that were mentioned earlier by Bud and Jeff, team and collaborative effort, absolutely happened. And it took a long process. As you all know, there's no shortage of process here in the Tahoe Basin for good reason. And it went very well. And it was because of the attitude, the skills, the abilities, the willingness for the team to come together and solve problems, frankly, is what it was. Identify them, solve them, move on to the next one. And I want to add my thanks to your staff and your team, too. You are very well served. by the professionals who show up here every day to do the work that you have directed them to do. And for that, we absolutely thank you, and we're proud to be part of that team. The project itself, I'll just talk about for just a moment. We think it's important for a couple of really neat reasons, and Jeff and Bud have touched on part of them. It engages people with their national forests. For many people, we believe this is the first encounter that they have with their national forest, the folks who come to Lake Tahoe in the summertime. The summer visitor to Lake Tahoe is much different than the winter visitor. The winter visitor, with a little help, is here for winter sports, and they know why they're here. They plan the trip. The summer visitor might not know what they want to do, but they'd sure like to do something on the national forest, and for many, a secure, managed setting that they can engage in the outdoors and learn something about the environment and take away how to become better stewards, what they can do to help as part of the overall basin-wide Take Care campaign that's going on right now, we think is a great opportunity. We also clearly believe, and I think the TRPA board saw this too, and they took action last month, that this project aligns so well with the goals of the regional plan update that move away from gaming as the economic base, particularly in South Lake Tahoe, and back to our roots of outdoor recreation. It's where we start in many ways. And we're returning to that with sustainable outdoor recreation that can exist just fine with the winter operations of skiing and not conflict with it, but gives people a chance, again, to access their national forest and experience what they're all about and enjoy them and get to be lifelong fans of them. There obviously are economic benefits both to individuals. We get to selfishly keep our best winter employees and have them be summer activity guides. That's something we're absolutely excited about. We're known in the ski business for leading with service, and it comes down in so many different ways to the service that the people connecting with the guests make an impression. We get to keep those employees and have them become summer employees too and engage the guests similarly. For the people in our community, that means they get a chance to have more stability. They get to put down roots instead of chasing seasonal jobs. We also know that there will be direct benefits to the businesses that support us, as well as the additional investments that we'll make in terms of property tax, sales tax. There will be benefits that accrue to the local governments, too, that we think are important to recognize. We did work together with the other agencies to review the process, as Jeff and Bud have seen. What I think was a byproduct that may not have been on the list at the beginning of this process is for the different agencies to get to connect with the leaders. This is a great example this morning with Jeff coming to address you. We did the same thing with the TRPA Governing Board. The boards that come together on a regular basis for meetings don't always have access to the leaders of the other organizations. And this was a really great opportunity, I think, in the public process for that to happen. And I think that was one of the great outcomes. Our long-term commitment, as you know, we are no stranger to WDRs. Our long-term commitment to resource protection and conservation and doing the right thing remains. We've been at this for many years, and we don't intend to quit. We don't intend to give up. Our commitment to you, I've told Patty this before, we want to be on the top of her list when she says we have good partners here. We want to be that in terms of a partner in this process to restore and conserve the lake. That's part of our mission, too, and that's part of the values of our company. So we're proud to be able to do this. The commitment itself, we know the regional priorities of the whole basin have changed over time in terms of how we protect the lake. But we've adapted to that, too. We followed along as the leaders of the community and the leaders of our protection efforts have refocused priorities. We understand that changes. We have those changes, too, in our own business, and we adapt to them. We have made substantial progress and improvements over time, over many years of work, erosion and sediment control, large-scale watershed restoration. Monitoring and reporting is one of the things that you heard Jeff talk about that we do probably at a higher level than anyone else in the basin. The adaptive management that's built into our current master plan in terms of operations, maintenance, and the way that we construct projects has changed over time, and that's a good thing. We've become more enlightened. Just what the vice chairman began with, the more we talk about things, the better decisions we make, and that's exactly what's happened over time with us. The monitoring that we have conducted, particularly watershed and water quality monitoring, over 20 years, has provided, I think, an essential scientific grounding for the analysis and the findings that are before you in the EIR today. We think that's well connected. This is a project I think that all of us can be proud of for a number of reasons. The WDRs before you, I think Ms. Horn pointed this out, the WDRs before you are in part informed by what happened through the EIR process, and that's a good thing. I think that's a good model going forward. You received a report, I think, recently from Richard Booth on TMDL status, and we have a TMDL for suspended sediment on Heavenly Valley Creek from 2002 or 2003, and you'll see in that that we consistently attain the sediment load target, and we have for many years, and we think that's absolutely a part of working together to find the right solutions for watershed protection and restoration. We consistently meet the TMDL target. In addition, all of the other physical and biological parameters that are supporting to that TMDL target, with the exception of the bugs that are, Bud mentioned, in a very flat stretch of Heavenly Valley stream near the top of the mountain, we have consistently seen improving trends in each one of those parameters since we've been measuring them. And to address the issue of bugs, BMI in Sky Meadows, the EIR requires mitigation for that. And that mitigation is going to lead us to either an improved trend, or it's going to lead us to further information to continue to work on that to get to the improved trend. Our commitment is to make that work so that we can stand before you and, with your support, move on to the state board at some point in the future and say we've accomplished the target. We're ready to consider being delisted and show that for both of our organizations. I ask you to please adopt the WDRs as proposed and to certify the project EIRs that's been presented. I'd be pleased to answer any questions from you. Thank you.
Questions? I don't have any questions, but it certainly is nice to get to sit here and bask in the reflected glory of our staff. it's a great pleasure, and this is an agenda item that I know that I'll try to remember during more trying episodes of the board, because it really is, it's such a pleasure. It's so gratifying to see what happens when people find a way to work together, find a way to make sure that what they do overlaps with and coincides with what everybody else does, and find that that brings better solutions. This is something you should all be congratulated for, and when the appropriate time comes, I'm certainly prepared to make a motion.
Ditto.
Mr. Sandel.
No questions. Thank you.
No. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much.
Well, we just have a date change we need in a couple of places, 8/23 and 8/41 refer to the 13th instead of the 14th. So 8/23, it's in section C. It's that first line. And then on 8/41, it's that last line before Patty's signature.
Incorporating the date changes as recited by council on pages 823 and 841, I would move that we approve the EIR and, or certify the EIR rather, and approve the WDR.
I second that.
All right. Keith Dias?
Yes.
Don Jardine?
Aye.
And Eric Sandel?
Enthusiastic yes.
Carries.
So you're assuming that we said aye even though we didn't vote?
Yeah, the first and the second.
Oh, okay.
Right, I'm assuming.
I wanted to say aye.
Dr. Horn?
Aye.
All right, that's approved.
Can we have a...